Welcome to the Dirt Show, brought to you by Casey's General Stores. And today we're going to hear from National Sprint Car Hall of Fame driver Bobby Allen. We all know him as Scruffy. We will also hear from Scott Wolf from Wolf & Sons Yard Service, and another incredible fall recipe from Speed from Cookies Barbecue Sauces and Seasonings, right after a few words from our sponsors.
Hey friends, it's Speed the Sauce Man. At Cookies, sauces and seasonings are our business. Food is our passion. Whether it's on the grill or in the smoker, on the stovetop or in the oven, Cookies makes mealtime better. Our five barbecue sauces, wings and things hot sauce, flavor enhancer, taco sauce, and premium salsas are made from the high-quality ingredients that America expects from Cookies, and all of our products are gluten-free. Remember, smart cookies use Cookies.
Cookies is the one.
International Steel Directors are your local connection to one of the best grain storage solutions and service in your area. Hi, this is Jesse Bach. ISE is the place to be with over 40 years of experience in grain bins, dryers, and air systems. Combined with top quality products from MFS and Stormore, the success of every job depends on outstanding service and proper planning. Let International Steel Directors walk you through the purchasing of MFS or Stormore grain storage system today. See internationalsteeldirectors.com or call us at 451-3448 or stop by our new location, NASCO Equipment in Fairmont.
Come home to Casey's General Stores. Right now, get any large made-from-scratch traditional or flatbread sausage pizza for only $11. Order online at caseystogo.com or with our new mobile app. Download the Casey's app now and receive a free 16-ounce coffee and cake donut, exclusive coupons, find nearby locations with gas prices, and sign up to win great prizes. Casey's, famous for pizza.
Hey, this is Roger Rager, 2009 inductee into the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. You're listening to The Dirt Show.
What would you do without your vehicle tomorrow? Accidents happen every single day, from minor fender benders to deer hits. Midwest Collision in Faribault knows how stressful things can be after an accident. That's why Bob and his staff at Midwest Collision handle everything from start to finish. Midwest Collision provides you with a loaner vehicle while yours is being repaired. Plus, they'll return your vehicle with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If an accident happens, call Midwest Collision today at 332-2434. That's 332-2434.
As you gaze out at your lawn and driveway, imagining how many times you've mowed the lawn or fixed the car, think about where you've purchased the parts. If it's Napa, then you already know about the huge selection of parts, helpful and knowledgeable counter personnel, and fast and friendly service. Stop in and shop at Napa when you're ready for your next project. You'll be glad you did. Visit us at your locally owned Napa Auto Parts store, 122 West Pearl in downtown Owatonna.
Hey, Dirt Show fans, this is Rich Voss from Auto Trim Design of Owatonna. Whether you're tight, loose, high, low, trading paint, or bump drafting, your truck will always look great with the help of Auto Trim. From spray-in bed liners to window tint, chrome, upholstery repairs, and convertible tops, we are your checkered flag. Come see us at Auto Trim of Owatonna.
Hey, this is Dave from Severson Oil, VP Racing Fuel, and you're listening to the Driver Segment.
Welcome to the Driver Segment here on the Dirt Show, and it is my pleasure to be joined by sprint car legend Bobby Allen. And Bobby, after World War II and back in the 50s and 60s, kart racing was all the rage. There were articles in Popular Mechanics on how to build them and get started in racing. How did you get started in karts, Bobby?
Well, really, I actually think I got started before karts when I was 12 years old. I lived in Miami, Florida. My dad was an airline pilot, and he worked with Bill France and drove stock cars to a degree. So he bought me one of these half midgets from Jim Rathman, who lived in Miami, that ran Indianapolis Speedway. And so I raced them a little bit, and then go-karts became a thing from California, and they started racing those. So we bought one of them, and we started racing in Miami there, and they had these big races in the Bahamas called the World's Go-Kart Champions. I ran them races, and I actually won. I ran third the first year, then I won the next 2 years. And so anyway, that's how I got started in racing and go-karts.
You and your father made the cover of Life magazine in 1962. You're pictured working on the engine with your dad. Is that where you learned your mechanic skills?
Yeah, that's right. I learned working with my dad in the garage all the time. Because he, like I said before, he ran stock cars out of Daytona Beach in the Carolinas a little bit with Marshall Teague and different people like that. And he worked with Bill France, was one of his buddies. So he knew how to work on race cars and what to do it, and I worked with him. And then I also went to work for Jim Rathbun. And Rathbun had this guy, his name was Bob Hampke, that worked on Indy cars from Indianapolis, and he had a shop down there in Miami. And I worked for him to learn how, that's where I learned to build race cars, because he built race cars before, roadsters and things that they had back in that time. And I worked for him, and I learned some of my ways to build things and start doing it.
The Joe Allen Special, that looked like a very potent-looking cart. Did you run really well with that particular one?
And we're talking about, I think that was a half-midget one there. Was that a go-kart or half-midget?
I think that was a half-midget.
Yeah, that was a half-midget. That's what they first bought. Rathbun had bought some of them when I was 12 years old. They were Moss midgets, and they came from California. I think that's what they were. And we had a little track we ran, and I won all the races. So that was really my beginning. Beginning was really before that. My dad built me what they call skeeters. The little car without a frame. We had a big field behind us. They took a Crosley motor, made this little car, and I could, at 9 years old, drive it around the field. That was, you know, that was an early start back then to get used to cars and whatever, and worked them in the garage with him.
I seen even your old carts had the number one on them. How did that number one tradition get started?
Well, let's see. Really, I think my first ones, well, because I was number one for being a world go-kart champion, so that they had me use that number on the go-karts. I don't know if on that midget I had number one. I think I had on my stuff it was number four, because that was my dad's number was 44, and I put four on the stuff when I first raced it. When I ran the go-karts and won the championships for 2 or 3 years, they wanted you to run number one on the car, so that's what I did.
When did you make the move to full-size cars?
When I was about, let's say, 17 or 18. I was in Miami, and because I worked for Rath, and my dream was to go to Indianapolis. So anyway, I looked at that, and at that time, you had to be, 21 to run sprint cars or whatever. I think it was. I'd run USAC. So I went to Pennsylvania because I read about where they ran 3 or 4 times a week, and they wasn't sprint cars, but they were close enough to one. I figured I'd build a car and go up there and run to get the experience on the dirt track. Because back in them days, you ran sprint cars on dirt, and that was a little climb to get to Indianapolis. So I just looked at that on my own and said, well, that's where I'm going.
The number 4 Bobby Allen Special, super modified, was that one of your first race cars? Because that was a beautiful-looking car.
Yeah, I learned to build the stuff through that guy, Bob Hampke. He was a good craftsman. And then I put number 4 on it because my dad's car was 44, so I naturally put 4 on it.
When did you first see wings appearing on sprint cars, and what did they look like back then? Because I know they didn't look like what we have today.
Okay, first for the wing, well, for me, the wings first came from Florida, because that's when I ran the asphalt, what they call skeeters or super modifieds down there. I ran down there for a couple of years. They actually had the wings on it. When I came north, they really didn't have wings. And I bought one up here and ran it. I don't know when they changed over, but we already had them down there before they had them up here. So I can't really say. So it definitely was, 62, 63. And they were starting to catch on other places. But we ran on asphalt first.
Have you always based your operations out of Hanover, Pennsylvania?
Well, yes. When I first came north, I'd go back and forth back to Miami, because I'd go back to Miami and go to work in the wintertime. And then one winter, it seemed like I missed out on some parts moving around, so I decided to stay here through the winter and fight this cold. And I'd stayed up here naturally. I went to Allentown first, and then I came to Hanover because Lincoln Speedway was right up the street, and I just stayed here. And Hilly Reif back then was a promoter, and he gave me like $40 deal money to go to his racetracks. And so I just hung there because the racetracks were all right around the corner.
Is that where your kart track is, Speedway 94 in Hanover, Pennsylvania? Because that looks like a great place for adults and kids alike to get into racing.
Yeah, my dad built that first, and then as we ran here, I tried to build it up, and then another guy leased it from me. When he did some more fixing up from me, because it's actually tough to make ends meet at that place, but it's been there for a while. It gives a lot of kids their first-time job. It's where I taught Logan and Jacob how to race, because we made a couple tracks like race car and built some cars to be like the act and run like race cars. People that come here really like it. I know we've had Tony Stewart here. He really liked it. We've had Casey Kane here, he likes it, and their gang, they always come here and say it's one of the fun places because it races like you drive racetracks. But to the public, It's good. Racing people really like it, and in the public, they just like to ride the rides. And it's real hard to keep things going because this Hanover's not what I call a big town. It's not like you're being at the shore ocean that where you got every day's a Saturday. Here, you got it's only Saturday that takes any money. The rest of the week, you're fighting for it.
Yeah, I totally understand trying to keep a business like that open and going in a small town market. But it's got to be awesome when those big guys stop in. I'm sure it gets around town in a hurry. Who's at your racetrack?
We try to keep it a secret a little bit, but it gets around, so yes.
When did you decide to hit the road and follow the money as a driver?
Well, I was always that way. I came up here, I ran here, and they paid money. And then back when I ran earlier, if there was a big race in Ohio, I'd go out to that. I always was a kind of a racer, or one to push for things to be better. And then they had what was called Moss, I think, in the beginning. I went out there and I ran them. And I won that, and that was like the first all-star thing. And then I didn't like it. I didn't like chasing points because they tied you in, and you could go to other big races and make more money than that. And then I had a big push on starting the World of Outlaws because I met Ted Johnson. He wanted to do a couple things. It didn't work. And then one time, I've told this story before, but WMA and I were sitting in the office, and Bob Trossel wrote a thing. If they'd had anybody that was king of the Outlaws, it'd be Doug Wolfgang because he won 40 races, et cetera, et cetera. And we said, well, that's not right. I said, it should be off the guy that wins the most money that runs around and goes to all these big shows and whatever. So I called Ted Johnson because I knew him. I said, here's what we got. We got this plan. That's what we should make a point system for the guys that go chase money. Because I'd always go out to Ohio and race and come back home before or go. If they had a big race somewhere, I'd go to that race and come back home. Because I always felt like if you just stayed at home, you wasn't going to get them to pay more money or go to bigger things. So I would jump around and go do that. So I started that right off the bat once I started doing well back in the 70s.
Life on the road, people might think of it as glamorous, but sleeping under your race car, working on the car in hotel parking lots or wherever you could, wasn't an easy task.
No, you're right about that. I mean, people don't understand. There is some good sides about it. You got to love it for sure because it's definitely a tough job because we got a toter home and when you go up and down the road, we stay in that thing sometimes 2-3 times without a shower, and then we'll finally get a room if we can afford that. And the boys being young, that makes it tough because, have girlfriends or wives, that's always a tough deal, to have. So you got to decide between two different things what you really want. And so, yes, it's got its good sides and it's got its bad sides. I like it because that's just my lifestyle. But you are gone from home all the time. It's tough. But I like it above. To me, it's better than sitting in a job all day long and drilling holes or doing something like that.
You've seen a lot of the countryside, Bobby, and it was interesting. We had Logan on the show last year, and a comment that he told me is, if you have my grandpa on, don't ask him race specifics about when and where he won, because when he went under the checkered flag and he was coasting back to the pits, what he was thinking about is, how am I going to get from point A to point B to race tomorrow night?
Well, he was correct on that, because I really don't, people are going to ask me questions. People always come, why don't you write a book or do this or that? I said, I have to give probably 50 people a tape, and I'd have to let them start, and then I could remember it, because everything's just another day to me. It was just I just would go from here to there to go to race.
Do you remember where and when you picked up the nickname Scruffy?
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, Len Paxton, who raced, he had a mechanic. I can't think of his name. Anyway, his mechanic. Because I worked on the race car myself and by myself, and didn't matter to me if I had, when I first came here, I didn't have jeans and stuff because I came from Miami. I had all kind of dress clothes. Well, I'd work on the race car no matter what, and they'd be greasy, dirty, and I'd be greasy, dirty, and I'd be headed to the racetrack, and that's how I was. So he nicknamed me Scruffy. Mark Smith's dad, he named me that.
What does Williams Grove and the Williams Grove Open mean to you?
To me, it's another big race to win. There's several of them. When I grew up, Williams Grove was definitely a big place to win the races. I figured Knoxville, and at that time, Phoenix, Arizona ran big shows, and I used to always push for them to do the same. But it's definitely prestigious to win them races. I mean, to win Williams Grove, they got the people here that race in Pennsylvania, they're the toughest group besides the Outlaws. And for their home track, they're always going to give you a tough time and fight. But there's no doubt about it, to run with the Outlaws, they would have to go there, and not that they couldn't do it, but they would have to take time and experience to go out there and run and learn the tracks. It's a different life races on the road than coming here. They really should have the advantage when you come here because they run all the time. But to win the race is good, and we just take it all as another racetrack. And back when I was a kid, I thought it was funny. There was me, Kenny Weld, or different guys. We'd win here, or Steve Smith or whatever. We'd run. You'd have the fans. They liked you and disliked you. You had all your groups of different fans. Well, when I started running with the Outlaws and traveling all the time, when I'd come back here, and at that time I did real well at them races when we ran here, and I won a few of them. Well, I gained all the fans because they figured I was a PA posse then. I wasn't an outlaw, I was a posse, so I gained more fans by doing all that.
You race coast-to-coast against the best local and national drivers in the business. In your opinion, who were some of the best?
Well, the Outlaws, definitely when I run, it was Steve Kinzer, Sammy Swindell, Doug Wolfgang. There was a few other guys in there, too, I can't think of. But when he came back to Pennsylvania, at the time when he was younger, it would still be Paxton. Now it's, now it's Hodnett, and now DeWeese is going really good. They teamed up with, with Donnie Kreitch's team, and that's a good team. You go out in California, I can't really think of some of the names. Tim Kading's good. Definitely Rico. Rico's really good. I can't go back to Brett Kading back in the time. He was good. Now, California's another place, just like Pennsylvania. You go to California, them guys are tough there because they know the tracks is tough. Like, to me, if you took the group of guys from Pennsylvania and went to run California, they'd have a tough time because that's one of the tougher places, too. Them tracks, they're rodeo style all the way out there.
One of the other things you seemed to do really well at was running the county fair circuit and going to these state fairs or major county fairs. And my brother actually went down to Mason City, Iowa on a regular Sunday night, and here was Bobby Allen and Rick Ferkel racing sprint car there, and people never knew where you were going to show up back then.
Yeah, well, that's how we were back then. There was a race. They usually were Sunday races. They'd be at the fair, and you'd go over there and you'd run. Yeah, they don't do that anymore, but they used to do it. Once in a while, we have an outlaw show at a fair. I forgot about that there in Spencer, Iowa. But, we'd go there and run. If there was a race, we'd go run it. I remember coming home from races one time. I'm traveling down the road. It was actually in Pittsburgh out the road there. And I seen a race. It said sprint car race today at 2 o'clock. We were traveling home from Ohio. We pulled in there, missed all the warm-up stuff, unloaded, won a heat race, won the feature, loaded up, went home. We felt like real outlaws that day.
August 18th, 1990, winning the Knoxville Nationals. What did that mean to you?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. When I first won it, it meant just another. Every race was another race to me. But as time went on, like a month or the next day or a couple of years went on, it meant more to me. I'd won a race and I didn't realize how big and people thought that it was. I just thought it was just another race. To win it was actually pretty good. And everybody has the same story. I think I should have won it two or three times, but didn't. Always broke or fell out or whatever. But then after a while, I realized it was a big race, and it made me also say, I wish I took care of things better because I would have won a lot more outlaw races, maybe at Knoxville one or two more times. All I cared was about going fast, and we built our own motors, and we're back to doing that now again, really. We just built everything. We built our own cars, our own motors. We did everything to cut corners to be able to go do it. And I just wish I would have did a better job, and that's what I'm trying to teach these kids, how to do a better job so they don't go through some of the stuff I did.
In the post-race interview, you said, some other guys had some trouble, but I won, and that makes me happy. Sometimes it just goes that way for the competition. You have a great night, they not so well.
Well, I did say that because when I won Knoxville, I felt like Steve Kinzer, if he wouldn't have fell out, he would have probably won the race because he knows how to go from top to bottom. It's a time. Mark Kinzer was still young. He was leading the race. He did have motor trouble. But I already knew I was going to run him down and beat him. I could tell I was already starting to come to him. And I talked to Carl Kinzer, and he felt the same way. Sammy, I won the race. Sammy, I got tired of hearing Sammy tell me because he had trouble with oil on his car and all this. I started in front of Sammy. He started behind me. The whole race I could get away from. The last couple laps, I went down and hit a corner, missed the corner, got narrow and about spun out, and Sammy did pass me. But then he went to the bottom, and then he moved to the top. When he went to the top, I knew I was going to drive right back by him again. Sammy just did the mistake of not thinking about the race right. And anyway, I won the race and beat him, so I won the race.
What is your favorite car you ever drove?
Oh, wow. I built all my cars. There's a lot of them. I can't really pick which car, which year, whatever, what car. I mean, I used to have one at Williams Grove. We had a name for them. We called it Cheetah. So that one sticks out in my head. It won a lot of races.
How did the idea of the Shark Racing Team come about, going out on the World of Outlaw Tour with son Jacob and grandson Logan?
Well, let's see. The Shark Racing Team, that came about because my dad, I have a picture of him on the wall that had a shark teeth on it, so I used to put them on my car. And then when Logan started running, they called it the Shark Car. And then Jacob, we got him running, and so that called it the Shark Team. Well, how that came about, my one friend Monty Thompson and stuff, because we do this basically, now we have a little more help than we used to. I got what I call the good old boy sponsors. I've got just the guys that were with me before a little bit. They helped me out a little bit, or helped me out a lot. A little bit's a lot anymore. And I don't have the big time whatever money. Well, we figured it out. For me to run here in Pennsylvania or run locally, unless I had what I call a big sponsor, I couldn't make ends meet. And we figured out what the Outlaws with the tow money by putting two cars in one trailer. And for the money they run, and with a little bit of help, and I had Mark Pell help me with my fuel. He paid for my fuel going to the races. So that was just like the only thing I was missing was my time. And through that, in 3 years, we've grown a bunch. And that's what we do. In the middle of the summer, well, most of the teams get ready in November, December, because of the sponsorship money, the bigger teams we're talking about. We get ready as we race in the summertime and win money, then we start building motors and getting more parts and trying to get rid of things. And I feel like in another year, we're going to be considered a little team, we're going to be considered a big team.
The team has been very successful, running up front, and Logan picked up a big win at Cedar Lake. That was an awesome night for you guys.
Yes, it was. We've learned a lot. Triple X come aboard because we didn't have time to build our own cars. Well, Triple X started giving me so many chassis a year to race with the boys. So that helped a lot. Don Ott helped a lot with motors. Charlie Garrett helped a lot with used parts. And then my nephew wanted to build motors, and he's been building them. So that's helped us. But what's helped us mostly before, we'd run the motors 20, 25 races, they'd be wore out. Now we're building more motors, so we only run them like 15 to 18 races. Well, now we have fresher motors. We learn more about the tracks we've been to them before, because every time we come back, we do better than we did before. And my knowledge of how to win races or want to win races, and the boys learning more, because definitely this year, Jacob picked up probably, I'd say, 20 to 30% in his driving. Well, Logan picked up probably 20% in his driving. I feel like they're learning how to set them up. They're learning how to feel the car. They're learning how to do things, and it's all showing. And we're getting better motors. I mean, I wanted to build the motors we ran Knoxville this year 2 years ago, but it took me running in the summer and buying parts here, a little bit here and there to get to it. And the faster we go and the more money we take in, the faster we're going to grow.
The picture of you three at the World Outlaw Banquet last year says it all. Every father and son and every grandfather and grandson should be having as much fun as you three are.
Well, we do have fun. Like you said before, it's tough on the road. Sometimes there's arguments because you always argue. They'll listen to other guys more than they do me, and they like to argue. They like to argue with me, and I always tell everybody, I say, well, I've taught them a lot, but now all of a sudden I think they know more than I know. So that becomes in the discussions. And sometimes they're right, I'd say 10% of the time. But anyway, it's still they're still learning. They're still learning. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to teach them how to do this, you know, the way I do it, so they can be able to do it. And then if they end up getting a ride, then they know a little bit about how to, you know, maybe work with the guys on how to win races. I mean, this year Logan gets to go to Australia, and I'm glad because now he gets to drive for somebody else and, you know, learn the other aspect of racing.
Bobby, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here on the Dirt Show. I know one of my favorite things coming out to the World of Outlaw events is not only do I get to see some great racing, but when I come down in the pits prior or after the races, I get to see you down there with Jacob and Logan, and that's always a great thing.
No, well, thank you there. I call myself an addicted race car gambler. I put it all on the line, hope we win it back. And we do sometimes, we're getting better at it.
That sounds like a great philosophy.
I always said, racing is like playing cards. You come to the table, you can't come to the table thinking you can buy your way through it and win, but it helps. You can't come to the table being all the way broke and play right, because we're all dealt the same cards anymore. Today, everybody's got the same good stuff. You got to know how to play. You got to have enough experience and enough money at the table to be able to win the game, and that's how racing is to me.
Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
All right, you're welcome.
Let me tell you, friends, about our store. It's a great place we call Miners Outdoor.
Miners Outdoor is celebrating 15 years in business. We are offering 15% off every Husqvarna purchase for 15 days, along with our fall golf cart sale. From October 1st through October 15th, get 15% off anything Husqvarna, and be sure to check out our golf cart inventory. Thank you to our customers for 15 successful years at Miners Outdoor in Blooming Prairie.
Miners Outdoor, Major Tough. Click, beep,
beep. You're shopping for a car, you say? Don't you know? I'll save the day. It's your buddy. I'm your mouse. Shop for cars right from your house.
FindCars.com. Click, beep, beep. Click,
beep, beep. Click, beep, beep. In your jammies, kick some tires. Find the car that you desire. Just a simple click and hey, find your car and zoom away. So tell the neighbors, wake the kids. Heck, go call your mom. The web address for all the stuff is FindCars.com.
After many years working on and repairing large commercial vehicles, Rod French opened his own welding, repair, and fabrication shop. For the past 15 years, Rod has run his fabricating business at his country home, offering welding and fabrication, as well as truck frame extensions. In 2012, the business expanded to include designing, building, and installing power lift hydraulic doors. And in 2015, Power Lift Hydraulic Doors by French Manufacturing Incorporated was established at the Dodge Center Industrial Park location. Power Lift Hydraulic Doors by FMI Inc. currently is serving Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Northern Iowa. No door is too big or too small. We've got you covered with all your Power Lift Hydraulic Door needs. Customer loyalty and quality work is what you can expect from French's Repair and Fabrication Incorporated and Power Lift Doors by French Manufacturing Incorporated. Give us a call at 507-374-9306.
How bad do you want to win? Hi, this is Tyler Walker from Walker Performance Filtration. When I buckle my belt and put my helmet on, I have one goal in mind, winning. Walker Performance Filtration Systems allow more air and less contaminants, keeping your motors clean and creating more usable power. Drivers like Sammy Swindell, Brian Clausen, and Aaron Rutzel can't afford to make the wrong choice. That's why they choose us. Walker Performance Filtration has systems for 410, 360, and 305 sprint cars, midgets, stock cars, modifieds, outlaw cars, go-karts, and even custom filters. Visit www.walkerperformancefiltration.com or give us a call at 818-252-7788.
Do you have some delicate or highly detailed items that need to be protected? Hi, this is Ryan at Foamcraft Packaging. The technology provided by our new Rover A gives Foamcraft Packaging the capability to cut intricate details in foam, neoprene, and rubber. Tool boards to case inserts, our goal here at Foamcraft Packaging is to ship your items safely and efficiently in a cost-effective manner. See foamcraftpackaging.com or give us a call today at 507-455-2893, your single source packaging supplier.
Does the thought of raking your leaves and hauling them away frighten you? If so, call Wolf & Sons at 455-3524 and they'll take the fright out of your fall.
Welcome back to the sponsor segment here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Scott Wolf from Wolf & Sons Yard Service. And Scott, this season was very challenging for race fans and drivers with all of the rain. I can't imagine how frustrating it was for you owning a yard service business.
It was challenging. I've got some very good employees that realized that we're a weather-related company, so they were willing to work. Some weeks it was sun up till sundown, but it was only 3 days a week. So they realized what we had to deal with, and they went ahead and dealt with it professionally. With a nice benefit to them, though, was that a lot of times they were 3-4 day weekends. It just depended on when the weekend got started, I guess, whether it started on Thursday night or whether it started Saturday at noon once they finished up.
And I know for you to get time off in the summer is very unusual. What kind of damage did you see and repair from the mass amounts of water that came through here?
Well, we had a couple of different sides of the water damage this last September, and then from all summer long, some of the things that you're probably going to want to see is the ground is going to be harder. You can't get a better packing agent on a construction site than a rainstorm if you have enough time to let things dry out. So sometimes that's a great packing agent, but it also packs your ground. And so a fall aeration is a great thing, especially if you're going to go ahead and overseed it. It kind of breaks up the ground. Kind of fluffs it almost like frost does in the wintertime coming into the spring. The other thing is you might have some ruts to repair if you have some low spots that are constantly being driven through with the lawnmower or like a road ditch. The last thing is that we saw some tree damage not always due to the winds, which of course happens, but also due to the fact that the winds maybe blew the tree over because the ground was so wet and the soil was so saturated that the roots didn't hold it in the ground anymore. And so there was some of that too.
Is there anything the listeners should be concerned about or looking for with the amount of water that we've had? Weed control in their lawn, stress on the trees and shrubs. Can we do anything about this before winter?
Well, like I said, the aeration is a great thing to do. It helps the soil and the ground open up. The trees really had a lack of stress. You know, we had some warmer weeks, like we do every summer here in Owatonna. But I got to say that water-wise, the trees obviously didn't get stressed. What I'd be looking more for this time of year is maybe on your oaks, after we're out of the high-risk season for passing what's called oak wilt, a disease among oak trees, you could be dead-limbing out or trimming out any of the dead debris, because you want to do that over the fall, winter, and in the early spring. You don't want to do it in the summertime when it's in high peak for transmitting that stuff. The shrubbery right now, not necessarily because of the amount of rain that we got over the summertime, but now is a great time to trim the shrubbery. They're done blooming and blossoming, so you don't risk cutting off a lot of the blossoms, and you're able to get it back to a manageable size coming into the springtime. Also, you're able to trim it back from your sidewalk so that, you hate to say that four-letter word, snow, but that'll be here. And it's nice to be able to use your entire sidewalk not only to walk on, but to clear off so that you don't have this itty-bitty path that you're walking through in February. You've gotten those shrubs trimmed back already this fall.
I know from walking across my lawn personally, I can really see those dandelions and large weeds starting to suck up the nutrients and prepare for the winter, and they're getting a good jump on the grass for next year, so now is a great time to hit them with some fall chemical.
It is. We've got some frost warnings out in the next couple of weeks and have had, you know, one or two out already. The other side of that is that everything is storing up for the wintertime, whether it's the squirrels and chipmunks or whether it's the dandelions and creeping Charlie. So we continue to put the liquid on. It's a little bit faster and it uptakes decent, but also the fall granular for a slow release, not for the weed killer side, but for the grass side, for that slow release in the spring and the uptake now for really making it healthy and winterizing it is very important. So if you don't have a sea of weeds in your yard, maybe spot spraying is a good solution, and then doing the granular, or I guess if we have enough time, that kind of depends on when the temperature really turns for the colder. Kind of depends. You could maybe get on a liquid and a granular.
Unfinished landscaping projects. Now is a great time to get in those hard-to-reach places now that it's dried out a little bit, but there's still spots you probably won't get in.
There are some places. I know we have one company in town, and it's wet. It's been wet all year. We've done or have scheduled everything we can, and to be honest, I think we're going to end up waiting for the frost to come in and digging through an inch of frost just so that we can sit on the ground with our machines, and we'll still end up making ruts. But, you know, normally when the farmers start taking out their crops, it hopefully starts to dry out a little bit. And it doesn't dry out fast because your sunshine isn't as long all day long. As far as not tearing up the yard and driving in on it with a skid loader or small little rubber track excavator, it does. It works a little bit better when you're not in constant rain showers.
Large jobs. Wolf and Sons have massive equipment so you can get out and fix those roads that have been damaged during the flooding. Or as we talked off the air, if you're a farmer out in a rural area and you're trying to get semis in and out of a field and you've got a massive wet spot that you have to go through or getting your equipment through, you can fill that in with some large rock.
Yeah, we have access, you know, to different gravel pits and the quarry, and hopefully SMC gets back up and running here shortly. So I guess there's a little plug for them to hopefully be there for us and everybody else. But as far as the low spots, we've got access to what's called breaker rock, like a 2 to 6 inch, and it's a natural rock, actually, clean. So it doesn't have the jagged edges like maybe a riprap would. And riprap is great for erosion, but not always so great to drive over if you have tires that aren't steel tracks. You know, there's there's a difference there. So if you got a low spot and you got to dump in some rocks so that you can bridge that weight of that semi coming out of the field driveways, or maybe you have gravel roads or gravel driveways that washed out in September, you probably want to get those rebuilt and dealt with and packed in. Then we've got between payloaders or dump trucks to haul it, or a dozer to push it around, or a skid loader to finesse grade it. We've got that kind of equipment that we'd absolutely like your phone call.
Something else that you're keeping busy with right now is tree removal. Trying to get into that farm field where you constantly have trees or shrubs scraping against your brand new combine, or it doesn't take a whole lot of damage if you back into a tree that's in your way to cost you a lot of money on that equipment.
Equipment costs a ton of money, whether it's your new Exmark, your new Toro, your new John Deere mower. Depending on what you're buying, it's thousands of dollars, whether it's your combine or your cultivator or your semi used for taking the crops out. If that tree is just in the way, at some point, maybe you either want to move your driveway, which is probably a lot more expensive than moving that one tree. So that becomes something to talk about. We last year got in with a farmer, and they have some rental ground and they have their own ground. And I think we cleaned up four different farms as far as wood lines and stuff. We had very good reviews from them. And it does, it costs some money, but they hadn't done it in, I think the farmer said, 15 to 20 years. So as soon as we were done with that, we had to finish up in the spring, making sure the field was clean and everything like that. We just blew the wood chips back into the field or into a pile for them to use. The wood we were able to put to the side if they had a outdoor wood boiler. Some of that fence line wood, whether it's box elder or cottonwood or anything like that, really isn't a great hardwood for heating your house. But if you want to mix it in your wood boiler, it works perfect. Or maybe there's a neighbor or campfire or what have you. So you get a little added benefit there. And no one really likes spending money on something like that. But you turn around and see what scratches in a paint job devalue your combine or your quad track or your front wheel assist tractor. It would pay for a lot of tree clearing. They were so happy they signed up last spring before the crops went in on several other fields. And so it's a good way to save your investment versus devaluing it too soon.
Scott, owning a yard service business is a really perfect job for you because you love the outdoors. If you're not playing softball, you're deer hunting.
Yeah, once in a while I get away. With the rains, either you're working on the weekends, you know, and I'll grab some of my younger lawn mowing guys and my younger landscaping guys, and, you know, it's kind of first come, first serve, and whoever wants to increase their knowledge and also increase their time card also on the weekends, because it does. It rains on the weekends. It rains on the weekdays this year. It seems like we didn't go a week without rain. You know, that's not true. I think the first week without rain was maybe the last week of August. And so then we started to dry out some. But once in a while, if the rain actually sets up the correct way, I'll take off and I'll go deer hunting. I will.
How can they find out more about Wolf and Sons Yard Service and all the capabilities that you have here?
They can call the office, which is 507-455-3524. Amy and Denise are very good on the phones and have a very good knowledge of what we offer as far as the background. And sometimes our toughest thing is people call in and say that they want one thing because they heard about it. But we try and get them to open up, and trying to get them to open up without prying and seeing nosy is sometimes tricky, but we try and get them to open up. The other day we had somebody call in and they wanted pit run, which is a gravel or a class 5 on your township roads. And what they actually ended up buying was 2 to 6 inch breaker rock for their path. And then we're driving that in. And then after that, we're going to put in 1.5 inches. Because they had a low spot to drive through and they were going to just put some granular on there, well, the creek was going to take that away. And so they would have put down, spent that money and their own effort and time spreading it out, and here it would have been gone after the very next high water mark. So what we try and do is not be nosy, but be questioning and inquisitive so that we can get you your desired result, even if it's through a different process or method than what you came in thinking that you needed. And so it's not that we know more, but we might know more options for you to get a better result. We also are proud to say that we have a website this year. We've kind of, I don't know if we've fully modernized, but we've tried. And so we're proud to announce that we have a website, and it'll continue to grow and get better. But it's at Wolf and Sons, Inc. That's WOLFFANDSONSINC.com. And that's where you can also find a list of our services.
Scott, it's always great to come out here to your shop and have you here on The Dirt Show.
Thanks a lot, Clayton. I appreciate getting the chance to sponsor The Dirt Show and do this interview every year.
Hi, I'm Gary Wolf, former hobby stock driver and now proud sponsor of the number 12 sprint car driven by Johnny Parsons III. And I listen to The Dirt Show.
When it comes to buying the parts that will put your race car in victory lane, all you want to know are the facts. Fact, Aero Racing Wheels can be seen on dirt and asphalt tracks around the nation. Fact, Aero Racing Wheels has become the largest premier racing wheel supplier by supplying quality and durability at an affordable price. Fact, the Aero 59 Series wheel has won more Sprint Cup nationwide and Camping World Truck Series races than all other brands combined. As a matter of fact, if you want to run with the winners, see AeroRacingWheels.com or call 888-895-2376 today.
Hi, this is Johnny Parsons, the third driver of the number 12 UMSS non-wing sprint car, and you're listening to The Dirt Show with Clayton Duché.
The big boys with the big toys. Dale Enterprises.
Dale Enterprises are your tile main specialist. Your tiling system is only as good as your tile mains. Design, placement, and proper installation of your mains are key. Don't waste your time, money, and future yield potential on a poorly installed plan. Call Dale Enterprises in Morristown for all your field drainage and excavating needs. 507-685-2148. Dale Enterprises is your tile main specialist.
If you're like me, you hate when your outdoor gas-powered equipment won't start. What I've learned is that most of these breakdowns are caused by ethanol and street gas, which eats up the fuel system, and warranties don't cover fuel-related repairs. Well, the experts at VP Racing Fuels developed a solution called VP Small Engine Fuel. It's an unleaded fuel blend with no ethanol, so it prevents those problems. The unleaded fuel is perfect for four-cycle engines, like lawnmowers or generators, and for two-cycle equipment like chainsaws and trimmers. VP's fuel is pre-mixed with oil. That means no measuring or mixing. Just pour it in and start it up. You'll find VP Small Engine Fuel, or SEF, in quart size and 1 gallon containers for smaller tools and 5 gallon pails for larger equipment. Try VP Small Engine Fuel, available at the Home Depot, or visit vpsef.com. That's vp-sef.com for more information. VP SEF is for use in small engines only and may not be used in motor vehicles.
Duradoc strength and durability withstand the water and elements 24 hours a day. Duradoc's all-aluminum welded construction, stainless steel fasteners, and non-slip surface that stays cool even in the hottest weather. It might just outlast your water skiing days. Whatever you need, roll-ins, floaters, or sectionals, Duradoc has got you covered. And best of all, no tools are needed for installation, which leaves you more time to enjoy the lake. Contact Tony today at 641-529-0698 for standard or custom sizes. The last dock you will ever need to purchase, Duradoc.
Severson, a good thing for you.
Severson Oil Company, providing the best products, service, and technical advice at great prices since 1939. Hi, this is Dave. Here at Severson Oil Company, we carry a full line of Kendall and Mileage oil to serve your needs. Plus, we have over 30 different VP Racing fuel products, always at the best price. We have dealer opportunities in your area. See SeversonOil.com or find us at Severson Oil Company, Winona, Minnesota.
Time to trade the love of your life for something new? No, not your wife. Hi, this is Ken Snow from Snow's Classics. You know, as guys, sometimes we just need a little change. If it's time to sell or trade your current classic cars, call us at Snow's Classics today. We can consign your vehicle, trade it on something different, or locate what you're looking for, so you're ready to hit the road when the weather warms up. See snowsclassics.com, where we are making dreams happen one customer at a time.
Welcome back to our special segment here on The Dirt Show, brought to you by Cookies, Barbecue, Sauces, and Seasonings. And as always, I'm joined by Speed the Sauce Man. And Speed, what is better on a cool fall day than a pork chop? And you've got an awesome recipe for a pork chop.
I've got a fruited pork chop recipe that's to die for. What's nice about it is you can leave the pork chops whole after you cook them, or after you cook them, dice them up, and then go back into this mixture again, and boy, they're great served over a bit of steamed rice or noodles. And it's a pretty simple recipe. You need 6 boneless pork loin chops, and I like to have them around 3/4 inch thick, a couple tablespoons of cooking oil. I like to use olive oil, and then I put just a little bit of butter in it for the flavor. 1/2 teaspoon of ground allspice, 1/2 teaspoon of cookies flavor enhancer, 15 or 16-ounce can of sliced peaches, 1/2 cup of seedless raspberry preserves, 1/4 cup of our Western style of cookies, Western style barbecue sauce, or you can also use our new sweet and spicy, 1 tablespoon of grated orange peel, and 1/2 teaspoon of minced garlic. If anybody doesn't get it all copied down, what they can do is just email me speed@cookiesbbq.com and just tell me they want their fruited pork chop recipe, and I'll just email it back to them, because sometimes it's hard to get it all copied down.
It sure is, especially when you're flying down the highway at 70 miles an hour.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that makes it tough to, and it's a little tough to commit it all to memory, especially for guys like you and I that don't have much memory left. What you do is you heat a large skillet over medium heat, brush the chops lightly with the oil, and season with allspice and the cookies flavor enhancer. Brown the chops on both sides in the hot oil, and then remove from the skillet and just keep them warm. Then add the rest of the ingredients into the skillet and stir to mix it up, and heat until the mixture starts to bubble. Then put the chops either diced up or leave them whole and go back into the skillet, into that mixture of peaches and raspberry preserves and barbecue sauce and orange peel and garlic, and just let them simmer for about 30 minutes. And I'll tell you what, you talk about a tasty treat.
That sounds like an awesome treat. And like you said, poured over a bed of rice, that would be incredible.
Oh, that is. I just take them out after I've cooked them, and while I'm holding them warm, I just dice them up into bite-sized pieces, because I just love it over steamed rice.
Speed, this is an outstanding fall recipe for pork chops.
You betcha. Have a good one, Clay, and see you, buddy.
My father, Francis Misgan, started our family-owned automotive recycling facility in 1972 as part of the countywide cleanup project. Hi, this is Jim Misgan. Soon after, I started answering the phone and customers were inquiring about buying parts off the cars that we had collected. That still continues to this day. One thing that has changed is how fast we can locate and how quickly we can get your parts to you that you need where you live or work. We pull and ship parts all day, every day. We also buy and sell complete vehicles and scrap iron. If you are listening to The Dirt Show or have a computer, you're a Misgan Auto Park customer. Check us out at Misgan.com or call us at 507-684-2100.
The key to fixing your vehicle the first time is a proper diagnosis. Stop in today to the Owatonna Auto Clinic and find out what many of your friends and area residents already know. At the Owatonna Auto Clinic, you'll get honest, straightforward answers on what your vehicle needs and solutions at a reasonable price. That's really what it's all about. Get your second opinion here at the locally owned medical clinic for vehicles. Owatonna Auto Clinic, located on 902 Hoffman Drive, or call 414-AUTO.
The apocalypse revolution has begun, and Badlands Pawn Gold and Jewelry is here to save the world. More electronics, more jewelry, more musical instruments, more guns, more gold, and more rock and roll. A radio station, gun range, deli, nickel coffee, and real fancy restrooms. We even have $1 million in gold bars on display. And yes, we really are a pawn shop. The biggest one ever at 60,000 square feet, packed full of unique bargains and treasure hunting that flips daily. Located in Sioux Falls, we open daily at 9 a.m. We'll see you at the Badlands.
Kohl's Electric in Owatonna. Kohl's Electric is there whether it's a small or large project, with state-of-the-art technology ensuring a professional job will be done every time. Kohl's Electric services include new construction, design and build, lighting design and installation, remodel work, high voltage, and PLCs. Kohl's other services include generator sales, security systems, infrared cameras, directional boring systems, underground trenching, plowing, cable location, vacuum excavation, pole setting, boom truck, and 24-hour on-call emergency service. That's Kohl's Electric in Owatonna. Licensed, bonded, insured, and offering free estimates.
This is your old friend Speed the Sauce Man. Welcome to the Dirt Track segment brought to you by Cookies, Sauces, and Seasonings.
They were racing last Friday night, October 7th, at Mississippi Thunder Speedway in Fountain City, Wisconsin, the Fall Classic. In the Hornets, it was Shadow Kirchner over Rick Slauson and Donald Martin. In your modified A main, it was Lucas Schatz over Josh Angst and Jake Tim. In the limited late model feature, it was Lance Hofer over Justin Sass and Troy Langowski. In the 600 modified feature, Chris Gilbertson over Joe Provencino, followed by Chad Dugan. In the USRA B mod feature, Parker Hale over Alex Williamson and Eric Cans. In your Superstock A main, Jeff Brower over Tim Johnson and AJ Hoff. In the Midwest modified feature, Kent Baxter over Jason Schill and Scott Splitstoster. In the A Mini Mod feature, Triton Krause over Gavin Taraz and Braden Brower. In the Hobby Stock feature, Brady Link over Steve Dreyer and Neil Franzen. In the B Mini Mod feature, it was Dylan Knutson over Colton Brower and Lily Reps. In the Outlaw Mini Mod feature, Jaden Larson over Ben Sprung and Nathan Kilwine. And in your Street Stock A Main, Tim Johnson over Danny Richards and Mike Blowers. Saturday night, October 8th, the final night of racing at Mississippi Thunder Speedway and the final night of the Fall Classic. In your Hornet feature, Rick Slauson over Shadow Kirchner and Donald Martins. In the Modifieds, Lucas Schott over Brad Waits and Keith Foss. In the Limited Late Model A Main, it was Lance Hofer over Justin Sass and Matt LaDuke. In the 600 Modified feature, Chris Gilbertson over Chad Dugan and Joe Provencino. In the USRA B-Mods, it was Alex Williamson over Parker Hale and Eric Cans. In the Superstock A-Main, Jeff Brower over Tommy Richards and Tim Johnson. In the A-Mini-Mods, Gavin Taraz over Triton Krause and Braden Brower. In the Hobby Stock A-Main feature, Steve Dwyer over Adam Spiker and Scott Spittle. In the B-Mini-Mod feature, Wyatt Hansen over Lily Reps and Colton Brower. In the Outlaw Mini-Mod A-Main, Jaden Larson over Andy Zimmerman and Nathan Kilwine. In the Street Stock feature, Tim Johnson over Jordan Talaxson and Danny Richards. And in the Midwest Modified A-Main feature, Eric Lamb over Michael Truscott and Jason Schill. Ogilvie Raceway crowned their track champions. Your 2016 track champions are Modifieds Jeremy Nelson, Superstocks Dustin Nelson, Midwest Modifieds Jeremy Nelson, Street Stocks Justin Pagones, Mod 4s Adam Prevey, and Hornets Joe Martin. Don't forget, next weekend is the 7th annual Topless Nationals, Friday, October 21st and Saturday, October 22nd. There'll be Modified Superstocks, Midwest Modified Street Stocks, and on Friday night, there will be Hornets. Races start at 7 p.m., and on Saturday night, they'll be adding the traditional sprint cars, and races start at 5 p.m. Congratulations to our 2016 Arlington Raceway track champions. In the Junior Sportman Karts, Zoe Porter. Junior Karts, Andrew Allen. Stock Karts, Jason Goddard. In the IMCA Sport Compacts, Alan Lahr. In the IMCA Hobby Stock Division, Corey Probst. In the Outlaw Hobby Stocks, Carl Hewitt Jr. In the Sport Mod Division, Eric Larson. In the IMCA Sprint Car Series, Michael Stein. In the Stock Cars, it was Dan McIntoon. And in the IMCA Modifieds, Clint Hattelstead. Also, your 2016 Corn Belt Clash Late Model Series Point Champion, Chris Simpson, followed by Jimmy Mars and Jason Feggers in third. And your 2016 series champion in the Deary Brothers Summer Late Model Series, Tyler Bruning, out of Decorah, Iowa, followed by Jeff Akey and Matt Ryan.
We're all looking for that little edge to make our race car go faster. Lou Fager's Racing in Delano, Minnesota specializes in stocking the latest and greatest name brand quality parts like Wilwood, K&N, MSD, Moroso, Alpine Stars, Bell, Simpson, and more, offering a complete selection of parts for IMCA and Wasota Racing. Shop online at fagersracing.com and watch for special offers or give them a call at 800-328-3618. That's 800-328-3618. 328-3618. Lou Fager's Racing, great customer service. Compliments of Lightning Lou.
Those cars are cool.
Yeah, I know. They're Batwing Chassis Outlaw Mini Mods, and the winner was just a few years older than you.
Really?
Yeah, really. Let's go down in the pits and check out the cars up close. They are affordable, and even I can do all the maintenance. Plus, it's something we can do together.
You mean like two cars?
Yeah, two cars.
See BatwingChassis.com. Cars so cool you want to buy two.
Hi, this is Harvey West, and you've been listening to The Dirt Show. See you at the races.